We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
I shared last night in my testimony how God had taken me from making like $800 every 2 weeks to like $2,000 a week when I was down there. And then I talked to you guys about how I was so broke I had to get that blessing from Walmart, right? Well, I didn't finish and tell you that I didn't stay in that place very long. God continued to increase me because he saw that I was faithful. I was a generous giver, but I was a terrible steward. So what happens was is I kind of gave outside of my means, but I really gave with a heart for God, and I really gave for a passion for God. And the Bible says that where our treasure is, which is past, present, or future, where my treasure is, which is at, it's present, right? There my heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there will be your heart also, is what the scripture is saying. Now, I'm not saying by any means you can buy your salvation, but I do believe that your finances can give you an anchor and a root into the kingdom of God, because where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Because when I would sow that seed, man, and I was walking out on the water, felt like thin ice sometimes, man, but I was believing God, because where my treasure is, there my heart will be also, is what the Bible says. And God took me to a level, man. I went to, it was probably about 8 months after that, I got to another job. And it typically was at that point, whatever my dad said to do the opposite. And that was the will of God for my life. And this was the first time that my dad encouraged me in the same regard that I really felt the Lord was leading me. I ended up getting into a sales job where I could work for 4 months. And in the other 8 months, I could travel. And God super blessed me, man. It was awesome. And I'm going to share actually a little bit of that tonight. But went from making $60,000 my first 14 weeks, because it was only a summer job. So $60,000 the first year in 14 weeks. And then I think I did $80,000 the next year in 14 weeks. And then the year after that was like $120,000. And the year after that was like $160,000 in 18-week period of time. And I share this testimony just like Jeremiah says. And I'm going to another thing I'll talk to you guys about later today is that this testimony is what gets people's attention, because there's nobody in this place that if you had the opportunity to make $160,000 in 4 months, I don't think there's many people here that would turn that down unless you're making more than $160,000. So the reason that I bring it up is not because I say like, oh, wow, look at me, but I say that God has been faithful to me, and God is no respecter of persons, and what he's done for me, he'll do for absolutely any single other person that's out there, because that's the nature of God. As you, as a parent, when you look at your kids, every parent's desire is to see their child more prosperous than they were. They want to leave something behind. So if you really ever genuinely questioned God's desire for prosperity for his children, just remember, God's our father. And if you're a dad and you have a child, even if you're not a dad, even if you're not a mom, and you could imagine having a child, there is nobody in their right mind that would ever want to see their child struggle with their needs. Every parent would want to see their child have more than enough in life. And if you just resolve that, okay, wow, the nature of God is good, and God wants us to prosper, man. Now it's just like, all right, I'll receive that correction, and we'll move forward. But that was awesome, Pastor Jeremiah. And now I didn't finish that. I left that sales job, and now we've got a great company that is just like mega blessed. I get to talk to people about, I get to share that, and you'll hear a little bit about that tonight. But I wholeheartedly agree in prosperity. My finances have actually been a testimony for God with my family. My parents, who I think I told last night, I was on the phone call, when this earth gets burned by fire, my mom hangs up on the phone with me, you know. Well, God so blessed me that my parents really started to bring some attention to what was happening in my life, and they started to realize, man, I was doing something right. And now I start a company. You know, I started a company, a trucking company in 2013, and God just increased us every single year. And, you know, my dad looks at what we're doing with the company, and in May we go up to visit for Easter. We're doing like a late Easter thing. I don't know, whatever. That's what we decided to do. I just went along for the ride. And my older sister plans that. I don't know, y'all have the people in your family, they just take care of all the family planning. That is not me. I get the text message and I say thumbs up, you know, I'll be there. So, you know, so that's what we're doing. But it's so awesome because I've got flexibility in my life where I could take what I need to do with the company and I can go up a little bit earlier and I can spend more time with my dad now who's retired. I can stay a little bit later and spend more time with my family. And it's like they can see the blessing of God that's on my life, the peace and the joy. And that's what God wants to use your finances. You know, the Bible says that the blessing of God is actually designed to make other people jealous over what's happened in your life. Not to be jealous of you, but that they could be jealous of the covenant, of the promise of how God takes care of us. So, man, our God is a good God. My heavenly dad is a good dad. He's a good dad. I am glad to say that God is my dad in heaven. Man, he is such a good, good, good dad. He's such a faithful dad. He is so faithful, man. He is so faithful. So faithful. And I found that any time that I lacked in life or any time that I had a struggle or there wasn't enough, I oftentimes found out I wasn't listening to my dad as well as I should have. I made a mistake somewhere where my dad was telling me to do something different and I didn't obey, or I didn't actually take the time to ask dad what I should do first before I did it. But then I would get on my knees and I would say, Dad, Father God, man, I'm in a mess. And you're good. I know you're good. How are we going to get out of this? And every time he was faithful. He never let me down, ever. And if you feel like, man, I got let down in my finances sometime, you know, this is going to be maybe a horse pill of a thing to swallow, but just realize the problem's not on God's side. But this is what's so awesome about that, because if the problem were on God's side, then you couldn't do anything to change it, and you'd be stuck up the river without a paddle. What are you going to do? Oh, well, God just is a terrible father, so I guess I'm just stuck with a poor lot in life. No, but when we know that, man, maybe I could have done something different, it empowers us. Because now we can start to say, all right, God, show me, teach me. Lord, your word says that your sheep hear your voice, and the voice of a stranger they shall not follow. And Lord, your nature is good. Your love is good. Your hand is to provide. So if I'm your child and I can hear your voice, tell me what I need to do, Jesus, and let's go ahead and do this. And one of the things we'll talk about tonight, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but this life we have is a journey. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's not what's going to happen this week, this month, or even this year, even though this year is going to be a year of great prosperity for you and for your family, but it's about the long term. And you know, man, this is totally off topic, but this is what you talked about with the alabaster thing. Man, this is cool. Are you ready for this? You guys will appreciate this, even if nobody else does. So I'm excited to share it to you because I was fixing to get out of my seat and interrupt you because I was so excited about it. You know, the lady with the alabaster box, what was the value of the alabaster box, right? It was approximately a year's wages. Check this out. She actually had to save her money long enough to have enough money to buy something that was worth that value. And you don't hear that being taught in churches because it's always give your alabaster box, give your alabaster box. Well, what if we were good enough stewards to actually save enough to have a whole year's salary to be able to even give that to the Lord? So now let's say that to the church, man. Let's be so blessed that we can actually take what the equivalent is of a year's salary and buy something and be so blessed that we can offer it as an offering to the Lord. Come on, right? That got me so stirred up because, man, people give their alabaster box and their alabaster box ain't a year's salary. It's maybe all that they have, but it ain't a year's salary. It might be like a month's salary or 2 months' salary, but what if God would so give you the wisdom? Man, here's another thing. I love prosperity because here's the thing, is it changed my life. And This is so far from what I was going to have to say, but I will say is that if there's one set of scriptures and if there's one vein of the Word of God that I've stood on probably more than anything else, it's prosperity and it's God's provision. And you can look in my life and see from when I got saved till now, you could see that is also probably one of the most evident of God's promises in my life is His ability to be able to provide for me. Me and my wife supernaturally got out of debt. Couple years ago, and we've been debt-free ever since then. We're just so grateful. We make more than enough to be able to give our 10%. We give way more than 10%. We give more than 20% of our income. We give more than 30% of our income away because how God has blessed us. It actually didn't get that way when we gave everything. It was jacked up. We give more now that we give less, if that makes sense. So we give less of a percentage, but we give more because God has taught us how to be good stewards. And if my people perish for the lack of knowledge, okay, so if people perish, that's what the Bible says, right? It says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge, okay? So what if it was this? My people prosper for the abundance of knowledge. If you're going to lack, if you're going to perish because of the lack of knowledge, then shouldn't the opposite be true, that you're going to have abundance for the wealth of knowledge that you have? Man, the Bible says that we should dig a ditch and we'll fill it, and He'll fill it. So what happens is as we acquire financial knowledge in our life and as we acquire God's financial plans for our life, what happens is that expands our reservoir to be able to hold what God is willing to bless us with and what He's able to bless us with. So if my people perish for the lack of knowledge, then you should be able to live in abundance for the wealth of knowledge that you have. If your perishing is directly linked to the lack of knowledge that you have, then the abundance that you live in is also directly linked to the amount of knowledge that you have. So if you need to get more financial blessing in your life, really the key is that you need to get more financial wisdom in your life. That's good enough for everybody to say amen twice. Amen. Amen, Pastor Julia. Again, let it be established by two witnesses. What did Solomon ask for? Don't shout it out at one time. Wisdom. Great. You guys are on target tonight. Man. And what happened when he asked for wisdom? God said you'd ask for a good thing, and he also gave him all of the wealth that he also needed. And you might hear, here's the thing, the offering's over. So you don't, this isn't about extracting money. And what I love about what Pastor Jeremiah has to say is that you can tell is his heart is to see you walk in God's best for you. Why? Because he is like beyond confident in God to bless his family and to bless the church that God's given him with or without you. And it's not a sign of disrespect, but it's a sign of honor to who our King is that we serve. If you're part of the richest kingdom in the entirety of the universe and you're just part of that kingdom, do you think that kingdom is going to be greatly changed whether you're part of that kingdom or whether you're not part of that kingdom? Well, it's the same exact way here. What God is doing in Pastor Jeremiah and Julia's life and with the River Rochester and the prosperity that they have and that they're experiencing is totally independent of you, but totally dependent on God. And here's the thing, and that's why it's not about what they can extract from you because you're not their provider. When they preach like this, it's about you being able to tap into the vein to be able to get in that same blessing. And that's what I used to say when I was in sales. You know, the way I look at it is that people have money that they're going to spend. Most people have an amount of discretionary income that they're going to spend no matter what. It's just a question of what are they going to buy it on. So now what happens when people had the opportunity to buy my product or to buy my service, they were actually in return blessing me. And as a child of God, the promise of Abraham said God would bless those who bless me. So I was beyond confident in the reason why people should do business with me, not because I just represented a good product, but because I knew this was the only opportunity that person might have to get God's blessing on their life. That's why I'm confident that anytime people do business with me, it's not confidence in me. Understand this. It's confidence in the covenant that I have with my God. That when people do business with me, they're better off for it because God blesses anybody who blesses me. And that's why I can go anywhere. That's why I can get involved in anything. And I can be, as long as it's a moral and honorable opportunity in business, I can do it with full passion because, man, anybody who does business with me is blessed for being able to do business with me. And I genuinely want to see people. Man, I hate the poverty mindset. I hate the ghetto mentality, man. I hate this idea of renting rims and buying, you know, subwoofers that, you know, your sound system costs more than your car does. I hate that mentality. I absolutely hate that mentality. People trying to live a lifestyle that they see on television or that they see on people's social media and that, like, people actually think that that's a good thing to do. And I'm glad Pastor Jeremiah preaches a strong message about it because, you know what, sometimes we need a good, I'll put me in it. Sometimes I need a good smack up the side of the head, okay? Sometimes I need my clock cleaned a little bit so that way I can kind of pick myself up and be like, man, what was I thinking? Because you know what? Sometimes a soft message just doesn't do it right. I need to be able to hear it straight. So I'm thankful for that. That was awesome, Pastor Jeremiah. If you're thankful for it, don't say a word. Man, you guys are real thankful tonight. That's awesome. We're going to have fun. Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to have fun at least. If you're not going to have fun, I'm going to have all your fun and lay hands on you afterwards. Father God, I'm so grateful for you, Jesus. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. Lord, you know, today is, they say it's Earth Day, but you're really the one who blessed us with this earth to live on. So as far as I'm concerned, it's God's day today. Hallelujah. And last time I checked, this is the day that the Lord has made. So I will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I know that you're for me. I know that you're on my side. I know that you're with me, that you're before me. And I thank you that everything that you've called us to do, you've destined us to win, Father God. And just as you've called that for me, you've called that for every single person here today. And I thank you that no matter how a person came in here today, that if they came in bound, that they're going to leave free. If they came in sick, that they're going to leave healed. If they came in depressed, that they're going to leave with joy. And if they came here captive, they will leave shouting and rejoicing the goodness of the kingdom of God. I thank you for the word that you've prepared today, Father. I thank you that you are the author and the finisher of their faith, Father. I thank you that you that begun a good work in us shall also bring it to completion, Father God. And we honor you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, it's not by power and it's not by might, but it's by your Spirit. Lord, I just give you all of the glory right now. It is you, Lord. Your word says that it is your power that's working in us, that's giving us the will and the desire to work for your good pleasure, that I can't even take credit for my desire to serve you because your word says that it's you at work in me that's giving me that desire to serve you, Father. So I thank you that you're working in every person here tonight, that you're placing a desire in their heart to serve you. You're placing a desire in their heart to know you, that they would know the goodness of God in the land of the living, and they would be able to share with their friends. Let me tell you what God has done for me. I thank you for doing a deep work in the people's lives tonight, a work by the Spirit of God. I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. Lord, you are powerful. You are powerful, God. You are a powerful God. You are a powerful God, and I honor you, God. I honor you. I honor you, God. I honor you. Oh, I honor you, Jesus. I'm telling you, Lord, I love you, Jesus. Burn in my heart tonight. Burn in my heart tonight. Set me ablaze tonight, Father. And set every heart in here ablaze with the fire of God. Let tonight even be the beginning of a great awakening for this region. Let tonight even be the beginning of a revival that would spark across Brockport, Spencerport, Rochester, Greece, Henrietta, Avon, this whole entire north, even Buffalo, Niagara. Let it spill over. Let it climb up. Let it do the let it do the opposite of the natural. Let it climb up Niagara Falls and make its way into Toronto. Let it make its way into Niagara. Let it make its way into Canada. Let the glory of God just climb up the falls and blow over into Canada. And let it begin tonight in Jesus' name. Man, I feel that for you, Pastor Jeremiah, that God is going to take your ministry into Canada. You're close. God's going to take you guys and is going to start to open doors right up on the other side of the border. It's going to be within your teaching ministry. God's going to, just like we did with Kenneth Hagin, God's going to open doors with your teaching ministry. And you might even be like, man, I really wanted to try to get involved locally here, but people are going to be, I'm just whatever, just telling you what I'm feeling in my heart. But they're going to be jealous because they're going to see you as competition. So they're going to want to resist you, even though it's God's plan for you to be able to impact these people. But he's going to open up doors for you just within the other side of the border where you're going to be able to go back and forth into Canada and teach the goodness of the gospel. Amen. I believe that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Brian. Where are you at? Do you have that scripture? I'd ask you. This is so cool, man. I get excited about God. You don't have to. I will. Brian is a good friend of mine. Stand next to me for a second. So this is cool. So like I had the scripture on my heart to have tonight, which we'll tell you in a second. I want to keep it a little bit of surprise. Anyone want to guess what scripture it is? Any guesses? Let's see. Let's see. Come on, ask the Lord. The Lord knows. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. So I was like, gonna say, hey, Brian, can you read the scripture? And he's like, do you have any preference on what translation? And I was about to say no, but like I went to on my iPad and I looked at it in another translation because I hadn't looked at it in this translation. And when I did, I was like, this makes it even more applicable for what I'm going to share right now. So yes, I have a preference, and I want you to read it in the Amplified. So I'm so thankful that you asked me if I had a preference in it, bro. So go ahead. It's Ecclesiastes 3:11.
Okay, before I do this, two things.
Okay.
Yes, a stake is better in the mouth than in the ground.
Yes.
But if you planted a stake, would you grow a stake tree? Mm. I don't think so. And the other thing I just wanted to say about the prosperity stuff is when you guys finally get this, it will be the thing you have to worry about is doing God's will. It won't be succeeding. It will be succeeding at the right thing. It'll be so easy. The word of God works no matter whatever you're in. Like Troy said, I can have a company doing whatever it is. And once you finally get it, once it finally clicks, the real concern will be doing what God's called you to do and not succeeding in something that he hasn't. So this is Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He also planted eternity in men's hearts and minds, a divinely implanted sense of a purpose working through the ages with nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy, yet so that men cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end.
Okay, I want you to read again. If you have another translation that's not the Amplified version, I don't want you to read it right now. I want you to listen to this translation because there's a part that was in this that wasn't in the other ones that I was reading that I want you to hear. So go ahead.
He has made everything beautiful in its time. He also has planted eternity in men's hearts and minds, a divinely implanted sense of a purpose working through the ages which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy, yet so that men cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end.
Amen. Everybody give Brian a round of applause. So the part of that like wasn't obviously in the other translations that I was reading was the part that's in brackets there where it says that, you know, so most of the translation says that he has also planted eternity in the hearts of men, which that's really awesome. And the direction that I was going to go and I am going to go tonight is about how to live your life with maximum eternal impact. So that's kind of the scope of the message tonight is how to live your life with maximum eternal impact. You know, we all think in this natural realm, most people think about living their life, and obviously they want to have a long-lasting impact. Some people think about, how can I make an impact on, you know, my retirement when I'm ready to retire? And then some people think, oh man, how can I make an impact on my grandchildren when I leave, so that way I can leave something for my grandchildren? And then some people think, man, how can I leave a legacy that will last decades and centuries even after I'm gone? But the wisest of all say, how can I make an impact that will last for eternity? So however you've been thinking tonight, if it's been anything less than how can I make an eternal impact, I really want you guys to, and even if it is, I really want you guys to grab a hold of this message, because God has placed eternity in your hearts, amen? And I, one of the, this part that I really wanted to bring out in here was actually, the one of the main points that I wanted to make was actually this part that's in brackets here that I didn't realize was here in brackets. That's why I'm so excited about this right now, because it's really neat when God speaks something to your heart and then he does something like this to be able to confirm it. So the bottom line is that God has a word that he wants to share with you guys tonight. So, and you're going to receive it. I don't even need to ask if you are or not. I believe every person here is going to receive the word of God for your life in Jesus' name. And if you believe it, say amen, and I'm ready. A divinely implanted sense of a purpose working through the ages, which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. So before we even get into these points, I want to just nail this home, is that God has created you, and he's created a plan for your life since before you were ever born, that within this plan for your life is your ultimate satisfaction in life. There's people that come in here, and I believe are in here now, that are searching for something in their life, whether it be their plans of what they're supposed to do, or maybe there's a sense of like, man, I just know I'm not getting as much out of life that I feel like, whatever the case is. One of the reasons why this happens is because God has divinely placed a plan and a purpose for your life that only he alone can satisfy. They say it like when you first get saved, people say like, oh, well, God has placed, there's a God-shaped hole in your heart that only God can fill. Has anyone ever heard that before? Go ahead and wave your hand. Three people. Excellent. Anybody on this side ever heard that before? I heard it. So, man, you know what? There's a God-shaped hole in your heart. Actually, you know what? There ain't no shaped hole in my heart, because my heart has been healed. My heart is whole. But the whole point of it is that there's a plan and a purpose that only God can satisfy with you for your life. You could be in the church showing up every single Sunday, but not fulfilling the plan of God for your life, and you'll still feel like you've missed it and like you're off. Just like Brian was saying, and this is like, again, he didn't even realize it, but this is exactly what he was just saying, is that you'll be successful no matter what you do. Your problem's not going to be being successful. It's, are you being successful in what God's called you to do in the vein that he's called you to be successful in? And I see so often people get distracted. They get pulled to the left. They get pulled to the right, and they miss God's perfect plan for their life. And they wonder, there's a longing in their heart. There's a longing on the inside. There's a desire for them for something more in their life. And they're wondering, why is this not fulfilled? I feel like I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing. But look, God hasn't called you to do, he's called you to be. I like what somebody says. He doesn't make you a be to do. He doesn't make you a do to be. He makes you a be to do. You don't do to be. You just be, and then you do. I won't go into that. But he doesn't. Anyway, forget it. There's a whole message that goes with it, and if I don't preach it, it just sounds like I'm speaking gibberish up here. So, yep, praise the Lord. He has made everything beautiful. It's one of the reasons my wife is just overly infatuated with me. Is just, whoa, why y'all laughing? What's up with that? My gosh. I didn't realize it was that funny. Oh, praise the Lord. What time is it? And everybody said amen. Praise. Okay. So she just loves how goofy I am. I don't know if she really does or not, but I'm comfortable being me. I'm thankful I get to live in my skin, and I get to go to bed. next to her in this body, in Jesus' name. So, he has made everything beautiful. I don't know what, how does this even work sometimes? I don't even know. My goodness. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also planted eternity in men's hearts and minds, a divinely implanted sense of purpose, working through the ages, which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. How to live your life for maximum impact for eternity. So I've kind of phrased this out with three different questions. One of the main questions asked is, can God really use me? So I understand that God has a plan for me. I think that everybody that's out there would actually say, okay, yeah, I believe that God has a plan for me, or I've at least heard that God has a plan for me. But, and one of the main things that I always hear, that I always see resistance on, is can God really use me? So many people are asking themselves, but this happened in my life, that happened in my life, I did this thing, I made this mistake, and how can my life really count? How can God use somebody like me to be able to make a difference for eternity? I want you to know that you don't need to be perfect. If you have your Bible, you can read real quickly. I'm going to go through this. This is Philippians 3, verse 8. See, when you really understand the promise of what the new covenant this is awesome. So Paul says this. He says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. So even all this prosperity that we're talking about, I want you to know that I personally agree with Paul, and I count it all worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. Did you notice that doesn't say I'll walk alongside with him, or that like I'll hope to, you know, have a relationship? It says no, so that I could gain Christ and become one for him. And he says, I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. You see, the whole message of salvation is based on simple faith in the work that was done on the cross. So if you say to yourself, can God use me? I've done this. In a sense, you're actually saying what the works that I've done are greater than the work that God did. Because you're saying somehow what I've done to disqualify myself in my short lifespan of 60, 50, 80 years, what I've done was greater than the price that Jesus paid on the cross. It's actually a form of pride without even knowing it. Because you're saying that you have more power than what the blood of Jesus has. Because Jesus is saying through Paul, through the Word of God, it says, I've become righteous through faith in Christ. I want you to know today that God absolutely can use you if your faith resides in Christ and the work that he did for you on the cross. It also says in the book of 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the 9th verse, Paul said, even so, I'll glory in my weaknesses, for it's Christ's strength who's made perfect through my weaknesses. So whatever you might be dealing with, wherever you might be at in life, I want you to know that it's actually God's power through you that's going to turn your weakness into a strength. The Bible also says is in that the way that God has comforted you, God will also use you to comfort others. Me and my wife, when Max was born, we were believing God for, I'm talking about a supernatural childbirth. I mean, we were talking about no pain. I mean, we've heard it happen before. And here's the thing, okay? Now, you might think that we're a little bit crazy, but, and we are, I guess, to the world standard. But when we receive Christ into our life, the Bible says that God has given us that which was lost. Jesus said, I've come to seek and save that which was lost. And that's not talking about necessarily lost people, but it's talking about the lost covenant that we had with God when Adam sinned. We were sold into the law of sin and death. But Paul says, I am set free from the law of sin and death. So that work that happened at the fall of mankind, we've been set free from that law of sin and death. How? Through the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So every curse that came on Adam and Eve at the point of the fall, we've been set free from that, and we now live in the perfect union that we have in the Garden of Eden, if that's where your faith is. If that's where your faith is. If you go to a buffet, if I paid for you to go to a nice buffet, man, I was in Argentina on our honeymoon, and I had the buffet of all buffets. I thought it was the marriage supper of the lamb. It was awesome. In Argentina, they have what's called a parrillada. If anybody knows what a parrillada is, it's like a, man, we're talking about food again, steaks and meat, because that's what Argentina is known for. So just one, this was like five, this is going to be a long message. No, I'll keep it short. So this is like five restaurants in one restaurant. Like you go in and they've got like a five-star pasta area right there where you can actually pick and make your own pasta. Like you pick the outside of the pasta, you know, all the different whatever pasta shells or whatever, all the insides, pumpkin, all this crazy stuff. And that was just one section of it. They had another, anyway, so where am I going with this? Oh, buffets. Mm. So they had this whole other section that it was like, man, they had every cut of cow that you could imagine. You'd go in there and like, you'd be like, yeah, I'd like some steak. And they give you some steak. And in Argentina, they'd be like, well, what type of steak do you want? Do you want this cut? 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 And I'm like, my gosh. So that would be like me paying for you to go to this buffet. And you're like, you know, I really just want the green beans. I just really want the green beans. And I didn't even tell you about the dessert, man. They did the dessert was like these caramel crepes. You could pick caramel. You could pick strawberry. You could pick chocolate. You could have, and they like flambé them with the fire that's in it. Is that what that is? If they, that's right, right? They flambé. Is that the right word? Come on, Chef Jeremiah. Is that what they call it? Yeah, they flambé. You know, they put whatever, they put the alcohol in it, which they burn off, you know, and they just got to make sure you let them know they burn the alcohol off. I don't drink it, okay? So, and you know, they flambé that thing and they pour the, it's dulce de leche. It's not even caramel. And it's, but all you want is the green beans. That's all that people want is the green beans. If you guys went to that buffet, do you think you'd eat more than the green beans? What do you think you'd, man, you want steak? You want all this? Yeah. Man, you want more than the green beans. And so I don't even know how I got on talking about green beans. But the point that I'm making is that God, in the covenant that we have with him through simple faith in Christ, that God has provided all of this for us. So when we talk about how to make your life count for maximum impact for eternity, I want you to know that, yes, absolutely, God can use you, and there's nothing that you have ever done that disqualifies you from being used by God. In fact, I'll be so bold to say is those very things that you think that disqualify you from using God are the very things that God is going to use as a testimony to change other people's lives in Jesus' name. Amen? Man, that just stirs me up, man. Oh, so I was talking about the pregnancy. And so we were believing for a supernatural childbirth because we'd seen it happen before. And Sarah was in labor for 36 hours, 34 hours. And for the first 23 hours, she had no drugs at all whatsoever. No epidural, no nothing. She was pressing in. It was like she'd been in labor for several hours. And before we just like tapped out, you know. And here's the thing. We could sit here and like try to say like God didn't come through for us or whatever it is. And I know God was there the whole entire time for us. I mean, man, Max is just awesome. Y'all got great kids, but Max is the best. And I mean, I'm somebody's kid too, and he's definitely better than I am. So, and you know, it's like I look at him and, you know, we now have a testimony and a story that other people can be able to relate to. And you know what? The majority of people, they might not experience a supernatural childbirth, even though I believe that God can do it for absolutely every single person that's out there. But we have an authentic, genuine testimony. And that's just one. That's just one of, like, not even the most intimate things, not even close to some of the most intimate things that God has done in our life. But that's just one thing that we would think, oh, man, can God really use us to give a testimony about supernatural childbirth? Because we maybe, in our natural sense, feel like we missed it right there. But it's actually that very story. It's in our weakness that God gets the glory out of it. So I want you to know tonight that whatever doubt that you've had, whatever rejection, whatever shame that you've had, whatever part of your heart has been broken with guilt, that you said, man, you know what? I can't be used by God because of this or that or the third. I want you to know that God is healing that place in your heart tonight. He is bringing hope to that place in your heart tonight. And if you'll have faith in God, it'll be that area in your life that God uses to give him the glory. If you believe that, just give him a round of applause right now. Say, thank you, Jesus. Exodus 33, if you I'm gonna just pop around the word tonight in a few different places. You know, this is all along the lines of, can God use me? Verse 15 through 18. Then Moses said, this is what, man, actually I'm going to do verse 14. And says, actually, it's the book of Moses. Exodus 33. Verse 12, one day Moses said to the Lord, so imagine you're talking to God right now. Put yourself in Moses' shoes, okay? And God, you've been telling me, take these people to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you'll send with me. You have told me I know you by name and I look favorably upon you. So here it is. Maybe you're saying, you know what, God? I know you told me to do this thing, and in this place that you've called me to go, it is a good place, but you haven't really told me whom you're going to send with me. And you told me that, you know, you told me, God, that you know me by name. You told me that you're going to send me to this good place, but you haven't really told me who you're going to send me with and how we're going to do this. And you're saying, God, if it's true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people. Verse 14, the Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. Pastor Julia, can I pray for you right now? The Lord is saying, I will personally go with you. You have asked the Lord. You've said, God, you've called us to come into this promised land, but you haven't told me who you will send with me. But God, you said you look favorably on me. And God is saying, I myself will personally go with you in Jesus' name. Woo. Man, as soon as I said that, I said, my gosh, that is for you guys. And it's for anyone else who wants to receive it by faith as well. The Lord replied, I will personally go with you. So can God use me? Yes, he can use you because God is with you. Because God is with you. Because Moses, Joshua also said to God, you were with Moses. And God said to Joshua, and he said, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And the Bible says that we are heirs to Abraham's promise. And God was with Abraham. And if God was with Abraham and I'm an heir of his promise, hallelujah, that means God is with me wherever I go. That means I do not be afraid and I do not need to be discouraged, for the Lord my God is with me wherever I go. That means the gates of hell will be charged with by the body of Christ, and that we will win victoriously in Jesus' name. Because our God is with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Then Moses said, if you don't go personally with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and your people if you don't go with us? For your presence, check this out, man. It's for your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all the other people of the earth. The Lord replied to Moses and said, I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favorably on you, and I know you by name. And then Moses responded, then show me your glory. Then show me your glory. And I believe that God is looking for a generation of people right now that are saying, God, show me your glory. Lord, you said that you look favorably on me. You said that your hand is upon my life. Lord, you said that you would set us apart. Lord, it is your presence with us that makes us different than all the rest. Lord, now show me your glory. And that glory of God is in this place tonight. It's resting upon you. The glory of God, I feel it like a weight in this place, that it's resting on you. It's permeating through you, and it's residing in you. But I don't see, well, my son, well, my daughter, the just do not walk by sight, but they walk by faith. So if you'll say in your heart tonight, Lord, I receive your glory. Then it shall be yours. The presence of God is touching people right now. Keep your eyes closed. Can I pray for you? The power of God is on you, miss. Can I pray for you? The power of God is on you. God is meeting the hungry hearts. Just close your eyes, lift your hands. There are people who are saying, God, you have called me to the promised land. And he's saying, I am with you. Show me your glory. Filled in Jesus' name. Fire! If you've never been in a meeting with the power of God or with the glory of God before, just understand that if it weren't for the glory, I'd still be on drugs. If it weren't for the glory, I'd still be in the world. If it weren't for the glory, I'd still be at the parties, because the sin was pleasurable for a season. But the problem was, is that sin led to death. It led to emptiness, because God has placed eternity in every one of our hearts that cannot be satisfied, but only by God. And it was by his glory. His glory shows up. His glory fills your life. His glory fills your heart. And what would God be if God was a God that we could understand with mere human minds? But oh no, our God that we serve, the one true living God, he's a God we can't understand. He's a God we can't fully comprehend. So when you see that which you can't comprehend, question not, is this God? But understand that yes, the power of God is more than you can understand with your carnal mind. And the sooner that you can understand that you won't fully understand, the sooner you walk in the realm of the glory. The desire has been for more impact, more impact, more impact, more impact. And I'm letting you know that the Lord is increasing your sphere of influence. You're going to have a greater sphere of influence with people that learn and respect from you. and you will be a displayer of the glory of God. In Jesus' name. You see, it's the glory of God that's going to change this region. It's the glory of God that fills the hearts of people that's going to change this region. Can God use you? Yes. When your faith is in Christ, you've been made brand new. And yes, God is with you as God was with Moses, so He will be with you. And Moses said, Lord, if you're with me, then show me your glory. So I want to know, where's that generation that has a heart like Moses that says, God, you've called me to this promised land. You've called me to prosperity. You've called me to health. You've called me to healing. But who will you send with me? The Lord is saying, I myself will go with you. Now you need to cry, God, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. For it is your presence among us that sets your people apart from all the other people of the earth. I'm hungry for God's glory. I'm hungry for God's glory. The Bible says, let the knowledge of the glory of the Lord cover the earth like the water covers the sea. It doesn't say, let your glory cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. It says, let the knowledge of your glory cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Because not everybody is going to be able to see the glory. Because not everybody is hungry for the glory. Because not everybody is chasing for the glory. Not everybody is desiring for the glory. But they're going to hear the stories of those that carry the glory. And the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. And it'll be spoken of, where are those that carry the glory? Where are those that carry the glory? And those that surround us, they'll say, I've heard with the hearing of my ears, but now I've seen with the seeing of my eyes. For these people in Brockport are those that carry the glory. For surely it is the glory of the Lord that sets these people apart from all the rest. God, show me your glory. You see, the glory is not something that we receive with our mind. It's not something that can be taught with the teaching of the law. It's something only to be received by the Spirit. For the law only kills, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And you see, Moses, after this, God showed Moses his glory. He hid Moses in the cleft of a rock and passed before him. And Moses saw his hinder parts, his behind parts. and he saw his glory. You see, God didn't come down and teach him with the letter. God came by experience with his glory. And it was necessary for Moses to have an encounter with the glory of God before he was able to lead the people towards the promised land. How to live your life for maximum eternal impact. You must know that God's glory is with you. Your life is a lifestyle and a journey. It is not an event or a destination. As you experience the glory, this is not designed to be a time that you had in 2017 at the spring revival was a time where I experienced the glory. No, God told Moses, I will be with you. I will live with you. I will be with you continually. Not I will visit you one time, but I will be with you continually. The glory of God is designed to be something manifest in our life regularly. Now, tomorrow or next week, tomorrow you'll experience the glory because you'll be here tomorrow for service at 10:30. But Monday, Tuesday, you might say, oh my goodness, I don't feel like I'm experiencing the glory. Don't worry. You're learning to flow with the glory of God. You're learning to yield to the glory of God. Therefore, there is now no condemnation in Christ for those who believe. Understand that God is training you to walk in His glory. He's training you to walk in the power of God. I've seen so many people do such great things for God, make a mistake, fall, trip, stumble, or do something even wrong with ministry, and they've latched onto it, and they've gotten hard on themselves because of it. But God is saying it's a lifestyle, not an event. Living with the glory of God and manifesting the power of God is something that you'll learn to do for the rest of your life. You'll learn to walk in the power and you'll learn to walk in the glory of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You must also understand that God needs you. People say, God can use me, but does God actually want to, or is He forced to? God's desire is to use you. I want you to know that only you can reach the people that God has called you to reach. Pastor Jeremiah said this the other night, that you'll be able to reach people I can't reach. I'll be able to reach people that you can't reach. Pastor Jeremiah can reach other people that neither of us can reach. I just want to rest in His glory for a second. Thank you, Jesus. Can you just put on a worship song or something right now? That'd be great. My message, my notes don't matter. What matters is that you guys receive the touch from God. I think you guys had that house fire song. I'd like to maybe listen to that. Do you have any song you feel on your heart, babe, that would be good for people right now? Yeah, we can do... Show Me Your Glory, I guess that would work, from Jesus Culture, if you guys have access to that song. Do you know? No problem. If not, follow the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I feel a rest in the presence of God right now. God is still doing a work, and I don't want to move from that right now. In your mind, you might be saying, well, God, I don't know if you're doing a work. Are you doing a work in me? Just say, yes, God, you're doing a work in me. I receive it right now. It doesn't always manifest with tears or with joy or with this or with that. Some of the times I knew that when I had hands laid on me that I just received it by faith. I just said, God, I know you're doing a work in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your glory, God. I thank you for your glory. I thank you for your glory. Thank you for your glory, God. Visit your people, not just in this room. Lord is taking this church into the promised land. The Lord is taking this church into the promised land, and He is raising up this group of people to be carriers of the glory of God. God is starting a work in this church that is going to spread through the entirety of this region. And this room is filled with the people that are embarking on that journey to see this region covered by the glory of God. There is a team. Oh, I prophesy, there is a team of people that God is raising up to lift the hands of Pastor Jeremiah and Pastor Julia to walk into the promised land. And Pastor Jeremiah, the doubts have come in. Will I be like Moses? Well, I will just make it to the Mount of Pisgah and I will see the promised land, but I will not enter in. And the Lord says, no, I will have you be like Moses and Joshua. For my new covenant is the better covenant. It's the gooder covenant. It's the more gooder covenant. Not only will you see the promised land, but you shall also enter in the name of Jesus. And yes, even for those that are in this room, it will not be a time for you to sit by the sidelines. But for every one of you who desire to be used mightily by God, so shall the glory visit you. So shall the power visit you. So shall God raise you as a leader. And it will not be about one person or about one couple, but it will be about a generation that God raises that are hungry for the glory of God, whose hearts are broken for this people, for hearts that are broken for this region, that desire to see the broken healed. And God will raise up all those who are hungry for His glory. God is starting a work in this church. God is starting a work. God is starting a work. But this church started. Yes, I understand that. But God is starting a new work. God is starting a new work. And what God authors, God finishes. And there's people here that when you seek your life's fulfillment, when you seek your life's fulfillment outside of the plan and the purpose of God, you will see that there's actual no true fulfillment.
Yeah, you cut it.
There's no true fulfillment outside the plans and purposes of God, because you'll get to a place where you're desiring, you feel like, man, I really just need more time to rest. Man, if I really just had a vacation. Man, and I believe that all those things are good. God's called us to rest. God's called us to take vacations. Well, maybe if I just did this thing, or maybe if I did that thing, that's where I'll get my fulfillment. That's where my family needs will be met. Well, that's where this will be met. But the reality is that God has placed eternity in your heart. That there is an eternal plan and eternal purpose that will only be fulfilled by God alone and by fulfilling the plan of God for your life. Man, there's a whole bunch of stuff that I didn't cover, but I'm gonna share one testimony, and then we'll just see what else the Lord wants to do. But the Lord has just put it on my heart, because I've seen so many people chase after the things that they want that they never actually get what they need. And I'm not talking about like, oh, you know, they chase after all these big, nice things, but they never really get. No, God will do all the big, nice things, but what they're really after is the heart peace. They're after the heart joy. They're after that in life where you're able to say at the end of your life that, man, I made the most of this life that I had. I made the most of it. And that alone will only be fulfilled by fulfilling the eternal plan and the eternal purpose by God. And you can try to fill it with family vacations. You can try to fill it with activities and recreational fun or recreational sports, trying to feel like, man, if I just had that thing, I'd finally get that release in my life that I'm really looking for, that I'm really believing for. But it'll never come by that. It will only come by fulfilling the plan and the purpose for God. The Bible says those that refresh others will himself be refreshed. And there's those that have been seeking refreshment, not realizing the refreshment that they're needing, it actually is coming with the refreshing of others. The measure in which God uses you is in direct measure to the level that you die to yourself. I'm going to say that again. The measure that God uses you is in direct measure to you dying to yourself. Because there will come plenty of points and plenty of times in your life where your emotions don't feel like doing something. Where you're going to get to that limit where you just said, nope. And you're going to want to put on the brakes. But the Spirit of God is saying, press in, do a little bit extra, do a little bit more. And it's at that time where we yield to that dying to self to fulfill the plans and the purposes of God that we are going to see the most refreshing come back to us, that we're going to see the most fulfillment come back to us. It's going to be in that place of dying to self. And if you want a scriptural reference for it, John the Baptist said in John 3, he said that he must increase and I must decrease, meaning that there's a direct correlation to the amount of God we have in us to the amount of us we have in us. And Paul said it again. He said, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The measure in which God uses you is in direct measure to the amount you're willing to let to die to yourself. And that's the hardest part, because it's at that point where you have to kill yourself, not in the natural. God will set you free if you feel that way. But it's in that point where you're like, oh, I don't feel like doing that. It's at that point of obeying God to do that thing that heaven's calling you to do, but your flesh doesn't. It's that second where you break from the natural into the eternal and you step into God's plan and God's purpose for your life. And it only comes at that point of aggravation in the natural and aggravation in the flesh. Because God is stretching you and he's bringing you beyond you. Just like Paul said, it is no longer I who live, but Christ within me. I'm going to tell you a story. This is, to this date, the standalone greatest physical healing that I've ever seen in my life with my own two eyes that God has used me for. And actually, even if he didn't use me, but I was just a bystander to this miracle, still the best miracle, that craziest miracle I've ever seen. This was in 2013 when I was in Fort Worth, Texas, and we were helping them out with their bus ministry, flyering. We were in several different communities, and one of the things that we did was provide groceries as well as other giveaways for people just to really be able to meet their need and be able to bring them into church as well too. And this guy came to church, and he really just hated God. Our flyer didn't say anything about church. It just said, hey, free groceries and bill pays and this other stuff. And then when he showed up and found out it was a church, he was really aggravated because he really needed groceries. But several years ago, he was a young guy. He was in his maybe mid to late 40s at the time. His wife had actually died in her 30s from breast cancer. After she died from breast cancer, he ended up getting a brain tumor that put him in a coma, and he was in the hospital for several months. And when he woke up from that coma, he went back to his house to find other people living in his home because the bank had foreclosed on his house while he was away in the hospital and resold the home to somebody else. And on top of that, because of the brain tumor that he had that was surgically removed, he was no longer able to drive at that point. He wasn't cleared, and he was a fireman, and he wasn't even able to have a job. So he was a little angry at God. He was a little angry at God. So when he came to church that day, he was not happy, to say the least. But the problem was, is he went from having a house that was almost paid off. He was like 2 years from paying off his mortgage. He was a fireman making whatever it was, $60,000, $70,000 a year. Car that was almost paid off. Loses all of it and is basically homeless, living in the homeless shelter in Fort Worth, Texas. Totally mad at God. Finally ended up getting into like a government-assisted living. Comes to this church, but he needs the food because he has no food. The second week, he decides to answer the altar call. Well, when he answers the altar call, God supernaturally heals these migraine headaches that he'd been having in his mind. That's not the greatest miracle, I promise you. So, man, he at this point, though, receives the Lord and starts to receive joy. Man, and he becomes a soul winner, man. God starts working on his life. God starts changing him. He's going out to Lancaster to the same people he used to live with, and he's starting to tell people about how Jesus touched him, changed his life, totally set him free, man, and he's just on fire for God. Well, then all of a sudden, he has a heart attack, and he falls, and he breaks his back on his fall in his place, and he barely is able to make it over the phone, and he hits the phone. And the type of heart attack he had was what they call a widowmaker. It's a pretty serious heart attack. So I see him again like the next week in church, back brace, wobbling, you know, and he's actually pleasantly happy, you know, like he has a really funny attitude, you know. And so, bro, what happened? Tells me the story. My God. Still not over yet. So, you know, he kind of recovers through that, goes through that. He gets another brain tumor. And that brain tumor also gives him a stroke. And he falls out in that stroke, and the whole left-hand side of his body is completely paralyzed. And I saw him paralyzed. Like, I went into the hospital. And, like, if you've ever been with anybody that's been, you know, anybody here ever been seen to somebody paralyzed from a stroke in the hospital before? They do several tests on them to gauge how their feeling is. So they take, like, a steel rod and they touch certain parts and they say, okay, where is the rod touching? Oh, it's on my toe, it's on my right side, whatever, it's on my right arm, you know. He'll say, you know, close your ischias. And I saw them it would be like, okay, tell me when the rod's touching you. And I saw him do it, and he wouldn't respond, wouldn't do anything. I saw him test the whole left-hand side of his body. I saw him, like, moving his right side of his mouth, but not the left side. I mean, I saw it with my own two eyes, so I could really care less what anybody else thinks because I saw it with my own two eyes. That night, he checked himself out of the hospital paralyzed, so ready to just die. He just went home, and he's just like, I'm done. I'm going to just go back to my apartment, and I'm going to die. And I'm just like, that's it. I didn't know about it at the time. No, I did. We tried getting in touch with him. We couldn't do anything. Well, anyway, the next day he gets back to the place and back to the hospital. And he's like, you know, man, I'm just done. I'm just absolutely done with life. I'm done. He's like, I've lost my wife, lost my house, brain tumor, heart attack, broken back, stroke, done. He's like, I'm literally just done with life. He's like, I want to die. And, you know, in the natural, I could actually kind of understand where he's coming from. I mean, that's a rough story, you know? I mean, that's so rough. And I told him, I'm like, John, I love you, bro. And if that's where your faith is at, I'm willing to agree with you that God will take you home. You know, I'm not going to kill him or anything like that, but I believe that God could let him pass into eternity. I mean, if he was genuine about it and he was totally done with life, I believe that God could have been graceful and done it. But I said, John, I don't believe that's God's plan for your life. I believe that God's plan for your life is that he would totally heal you, that he would totally set you free, and that he would use you to preach the gospel to many, many people and share your testimony. And I just told him, I said, but I'm not going to be your cheerleader for your whole life. I'm like, you have to decide whether you're going to be that person or whether you're not, because I'm not going to be there every single step of the day to cheer you on and to say, you can do it. I believe in you. That's just something that you're going to have to resolve on your own. So he left. next day. And now, to be honest with you guys, at this point, I really had zero desire to go visit him at the hospital. I was so busy with all this other work and all this other stuff. And I was actually, and like, in my natural brain, I was just kind of like, this guy's fried, you know, like, I can't do anything for him. You know, I'm definitely not in faith. I'm just kind of checked out. So I get to, I'm just being honest with you guys where I'm at, you know. Pastor Jeremiah is a lot holier than I am. He would be in faith with you guys for your miracle, you know. He'd be praying and fasting all night, ready to see you again the next morning. I wasn't, you know. But I did the right thing because it was the right thing, and I showed up the next day. And I visited him, and I saw him. And, man, it was like he was listening to Rocky, Eye of the Tiger, the whole night. You know, still paralyzed, but he's like, man, I'm going to do this thing. And even if I have to lead people to Jesus from the wheelchair, I'm going to lead people from the Jesus from the wheelchair, man. I'm going to do this thing. And I was encouraged. Praise the Lord. The guy has a passion for life, you know. So he's still paralyzed, obviously, on the whole left-hand side of his body. So he's in the bed, and I grab his arm like this, and I'm just kind of talking to him and just hearing him out, and I just start to, like, move his, like, arm up and down, you know. And we're talking. His arm's just like a dead fish, you know. I'm just doing it, like, you know, whatever. You're doing it better than a dead fish right now. So I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's more like that for sure. But then, like, it was weird. As I'm talking, I don't feel the presence of God. I don't feel nothing or nothing. But as I start doing this, I start to realize that, like, I'm not doing anything. So I, like, kind of, like, loosely hold his hand, you know, like, where I'm still, my hand is there, but, like, I'm not doing anything. And his arm, like, just moving up and down. And then I, like, kind of, like, and I'm talking to him, you know, and I'm like, hey, John, look at your arm. And he sees I'm not doing anything. And he's like, whoa. And so I let go of his hand, and he's just, like, moving his arm up and down. And I'm like, whoa, this is nuts. So he's like, bro, sit here, because my bed has an alarm on it. And so if I get off the bed, the alarm's going to go off or something like that. So I sit on the edge of the bed, and he, like, you know, you ever, like, wake up with a dead leg in the morning, or, you know. Anyone ever have both arms fall asleep when you wake up? Like, well, it wasn't anything like that, because I just thought of that. Anyway, so he flings his whole leg around, and, I mean, he's done, you know. He's like, his leg's not working. But as I've been visiting him the last 3 days now, there's this guy, Luke, that was on the other side of the curtain, you know, and they were talking to each other. He ended up being a pastor's kid and got totally whacked out on drugs, like OD'd on heroin or something, like just had brought him in there last minute. So John's like Hunchback in Notre Dame, like going over there, you know. And it was so sweet because I see, it's like, you know, you see like the curtain and you just hear, Luke, I'm John. Nice to meet you. And I'm like, oh man, I'm so touched. You know, that was so sweet, you know. So then I see John around the corner again, like this, you know, bringing his leg back, still totally paralyzed. But then, like, I don't know what it was. I'm sitting on the end of the bed, and, you know, he just starts, like, moving his leg. And I'm like, this is nuts. I'm watching him. So then, like, the other nurse comes in and is like, oh, you know, like, he doesn't know anything. She doesn't know anything about John. Like, oh, how you doing? Like, yeah, I'm pretty good, you know. I'm doing great, you know. Check this out. And she's like, oh, that's nice. What happened to you? And he's like, oh, I had a stroke. And she's like, oh, it must not have been too bad. And, you know, she's like totally oblivious. And meanwhile, I'm like, what? You know, totally like jailed to this bed because I can't move or else the alarm is going to go up. And then all of a sudden, his nurse walks in and, like, you know, looking down and then looks up and is just jaw dropped on the floor, like, cannot believe what's going on. And she's like, hey, who's this? And he's like, oh, this is my pastor, Troy, or something like that. And she's like, nice to meet you. Like, she is like, what did you do to this guy, you know? And she's like, what are you doing on the bed? And she's like, no, you can get off the bed. There's no alarm on the bed or anything like that. So I'm like, oh, praise God. So I get off the bed, and she's like, well, I brought this walker for you so that way we can just, like, kind of go walk around and, you know, like, try it out. I really didn't think that you'd be able to use it, but I mean, I guess you're actually doing really amazing. She's like, this is impossible. She's like, do you want to go out and walk on the walker? And he's like, yeah, sure. So he goes out and she like stretches out because he's kind of a tall guy and he's just funny, real funny attitude. So they get the walker set up in front of him. And so he's there and she's like, all right, you ready? You ready? You ready? Okay, you ready? And he's like, all right, let's go. So he's like, all right, let's go.
Picks the walker up off the ground and starts walking without the walker on the ground.
And I lose it, man. I lose it. I'm like, this is nuts. That lady that day took her lunch break with John as John just witnessed Christ to her the whole time and the power of God. That she said that day there was like over a dozen different doctors in his room. They retook the brain scans and the doctor came back because when you have a stroke that leaves what's called an infarction, which is a dead spot of cells. They say that a stroke, your brain can't heal itself. You'll always have a dead spot of cells and it'll be a black spot. And the doctor came back and he's like, Troy, the doctor, he said, he gave me my report. I'm like, well, what did he say? He says, it looks like your brain came right out of the womb. So I'm like, man, and the guy gets totally healed, right? And I'm just like, whoa. But it's still not the end of the miracle. He ends up being there in the hospital. Well, all this debt that he's accumulated now from the heart attack, the broken back, you know, the stroke, all this stuff, it's all there. He ends up meeting somebody from this nonprofit organization somehow called MASH. I forget what it is. God totally forgives him of tens of thousands of dollars worth of hospital debt, totally forgiven just like that. And the guy is so touched by his testimony, gives him a Bible college scholarship to where we're at in Fort Worth. That guy today has led thousands of people to the Lord, and he's at church in Louisiana with the Duck Dynasty folks, and he's baptizing people. He's got a big old beard and a bald head, and God has totally turned that man's life around, and God is using him. And I'm talking about, man, I felt nothing like going to visit him that day. I'm talking about I had to die to myself to be able to be allowed God to be used by God. And I got to the end of myself, and it reminded me, and this is the last thing that I'm going to share, and this is nothing on the notes, half the stuff, but man, I remember being on a great awakening in Austin, Texas at Joe and Becky Cruz's school, and I remember like they had this field, it was actually on this equestrian like plot of land, it was really pretty, and I remember being back behind it, and I put on my running shoes, and I was going out running. I remember just being like, oh, God, man, I'll do anything for you, God. I'll do anything. You know, I don't know if anyone has ever did this, but like, God, I'll die for you, God, man, I'll die for you. I'll give, you know, whatever it takes, I'll die for you. And it was like the power of God hit me and said, Troy, anybody can die for me. That's a one-time decision. But will you live for me? Because then you have to choose to die daily. And it was that moment the glory of God visited me. I couldn't take another step. I got down on my hands and on my knees, and I just started to worship God. And I said, God, I worship you, God. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you, God. I said, yes, God, I'll live for you. I'll live for you. I'll live for you.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.